The practical question now arises, how we can learn to combine effectively the correct pronunciation of vowels and consonants, the correct pronunciation of the pitch accents, and the correct rhythmical reading of the poetry, so as to achieve a satisfying aesthetic unity. I am sure that there are several ways one can travel to reach this goal. For although all roads do not lead to Rome, I'm sure that more than one does. The method I'll suggest is one that I found enabled me personally to combine the various components of sound in ancient Greek into a fluent unity. It is also the method that I have found successful in working with my own students in the last several years. But ultimately, it is not the method, but the result that counts. And in the most practical sense, that method is best which works best for you. My own view is that to attempt from the very beginning to put together all of the diverse phonetic components of ancient Greek would be unwise. This would require a degree of coordination which could only be acquired with time and practice. I would suggest an approach through five stages. Let's use as an example the first line of the Odyssey. Stage 1 consists of scanning the line as we did before, and then reading the scansion aloud rhythmically, without the words. As before, I'll give the rhythmic scansion of this verse on a single musical tone so that the pattern of long and short syllables will stand out as clearly as possible. Here is the rhythmic pattern of the first line of the Odyssey. La 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 la. I imagine you heard that the rhythmic pattern of this line is very similar to that which I previously gave as an example of the dactylic hexameter, namely five dactyls, here followed by a trochee rather than by a spondee. Remember that the long syllables are not necessarily given greater stress than the short syllables, only greater length. Stress should not become part of the rhythmic pattern. It sometimes helps to think of the rhythm as a purely horizontal progression of sound. Try practicing this rhythmic chanting of the scansion until it is accurate and comfortable. Stage 2 consists of superimposing on the rhythmic pattern of this verse the sounds of the vowels and the consonants, but without introducing the pitch accents, which might at this stage be an element of distraction. Here is the combination of the rhythm together with the vowels and consonants of the same line of the Odyssey, again on a single musical tone. Notice that the stress remains equal on all syllables. Andra moyen epimusa polytropon hos malapolla. I repeat. Andra moyen epimusa polytropon hos malapolla. This stage should also be practiced until the elements of rhythm, vowels, and consonants can be combined accurately and comfortably, again without giving extra stress to the long syllables. Stage 3 consists of superimposing the pitch accents of this verse upon the firmly established base of the rhythm, combined with the proper pronunciation of the vowels and consonants. This process will be easier to learn if we keep the musical tone which we used for steps 1 and 2, but using it here as a basic point of departure and return for the pitch accents. You remember that the sound of the verse at stage 2 was Andra moyen epimusa polytropon hos malapolla. Keeping the sound in mind, let's add the pitch accents. The aim here is to disturb neither the rhythmic pattern nor the sounds of the vowels and consonants, but simply to add the pitch accents to what we had before. Again, we must remember not to give additional stress to the accented syllables, only a change in musical pitch. Here is the same verse at stage 3.
Andramoyen nepemus apolitropon hos malapolla.
For the sake of clarity, I repeat.
Andramoyen nepemus apolitropon hos malapolla.
What you have just heard might strike you as a somewhat strange and highly chanted sound, something closer to singing than to recitation. This would be a fairly correct impression, but let me clearly say that this sound is not the end goal. It is an intermediary stage and a learning technique necessary to reach the end goal. You may very well be able to accelerate the mastery of stage 3 by memorizing a short passage of about 10 dactylic hexameters, preferably a passage which you yourself like. By memorizing these lines at stage 3, with the correct coordination of accents, rhythm, and pronunciation of vowels and consonants, you will have internalized certain basic poetic patterns. This will allow you to read aloud more easily other lines which you have not seen or heard before. After stage 3 has been sufficiently mastered so that in reading aloud, the word accents, the quantitative rhythm, and the vowels and consonants all mesh successfully without mutual interference, stage 4 should be learnt. This stage has the goal of converting the chanted tones of stage 3 into more spoken or recited tones, which is presumably nearer to the way the poetry was actually read. We keep the same deliberate and regular tempo at stage 4 that we used at stage 3. What is actually involved in moving from stage 3 to stage 4? Let's listen to the same line of the Odyssey, now read at stage 4.
Andramoi innepemus apolitropon hos malapolla.
Again, for the sake of clarity, I'll repeat.
Andramoyen epimus apolitropon hos malapolla.
Once the conversion from chanted to more spoken tones has been successful at stage 4, we can advance to the fifth and final stage. Stage 5 aims at achieving an artistic unity of all the diverse elements of sound that we have discussed, so that correct form will be given personal meaning, and so that the poem will speak as poetry. Let me repeat stage 4, and then, without interruption, read the same line at stage 5 for contrast.
Andramoi innepemus apolitropon hos malapolla. Andramoi innepemus apolitropon hos malapolla.
Let's listen to this contrast once more.
Andramoi innepemus apolitropon hos malapolla. Andramoi innepemus apolitropon hos malapolla.
The transition to stage 5 is both subtle and individual, but perhaps the most essential element of this transition is that of greater flexibility in the rendition of the various phonetic components. You perhaps notice that at stage 5 not only is the single musical tone abandoned, but also that the pitch accents have a more variable and gradual glide upward and downward, rather than being clearly demarcated, which is more a characteristic of singing than of speech. Going beyond the single line that we used as our example, we will find at this last stage of the reading subtle variations of the pitch accent depending upon the mood of the passage and the degree of emphasis or expression desired, the time duration or tempo of the long and short syllables, the pauses at the end of the line and in the middle of the line. All these vary in accordance with the sense of the line or the passage. There will, in other words, be a multitude of minute variations that reflect the individual reader's attitude to the words he is rendering. But none of these variations will be so strong as to upset the underlying and accurate flow of vowels, consonants, accents, and rhythm. What we are talking about is essentially advancing from a mechanically correct rendition to an aesthetically gratifying rendition. While it is impossible to achieve the second without the first, it is the aesthetically gratifying rendition that is our true goal. We wish to be able to derive personal pleasure from reading Greek literature aloud, and to convey this pleasure to others. To facilitate the process at stage 5, the use of a memorized passage may once more be of help. If you have already memorized a passage of Dactylic Examiners for stage 3, you can use the same passage here. I would suggest that you recite the memorized passage slowly, with the sense of the meaning of each word clearly in your mind as you speak it, and that you allow this sense of the meaning of the words to give shades of expression to the sequence of sounds. This is, of course, what we do almost automatically in reciting English poetry. What is obviously more difficult here is that we are working in a foreign language where we do not have the almost instinctive coordination of sense and sound. And so, in our reading of Greek poetry, we must make an effort not to allow our personal interpretation of the sense of the words to distort the true sound of the words. With patience and practice, I believe that these two elements can be successfully fused. I should say a word here on the reading aloud of ancient Greek prose, such as a dialogue of Plato or a speech of Demosthenes. As we know, the ancient Greeks listened with great attention and sensitivity to the sound of the speaker's words as well as to their meaning. Orators, philosophers, and historians whose works were intended to be heard rather than to be read silently all composed their works with an instinctive awareness of the importance of the way their words sounded. Obviously, this affected their choice of combinations of consonants, of vowel sequences, and of rhythmic patterns. In our own reading, we should try to recapture these effects as faithfully as possible. This means that not only should we pronounce the vowels, consonants, and pitch accents as accurately as we can, but that in reading ancient Greek prose, we should also respect the same principles of syllabic quantity as in poetry. That is, we should pronounce long syllables as long and short syllables as short. This, incidentally, was my aim before when I read the first sentence of Plato's Apology. The rhythmic patterns of prose are not as consistent and as clear to the ear as those of poetry, a fact which makes prose generally more difficult to scan than poetry. But the principles are the same, and we should try to observe them. To return now to our sequence of 5 stages, you, the listener, might well ask, how long does it take to reach stage 5, the final goal? Obviously, no universal answer can be given, since individual aptitudes vary, as well as the amount of time available for practice, a necessary ingredient for all language study. Some students, for example, may be able to move very rapidly from stage 1 to stage 5. Others will require more time. I can only say that in my own experience in working with students at both elementary and advanced levels, good results have generally been achieved by the end of one semester, sometimes excellent results. The process is, of course, unending, even after one has reached stage 5. As with any physical performance, whether it be athletic, musical, or poetic, perfection is never attained. One can always improve. Yet, with a reasonable investment of time and effort, I think most students of ancient Greek can achieve within a year sufficient skills in pronunciation and reading so that they have the clear sense and satisfaction of hearing a living sound in the language they are studying. In the final portion of this recording, I shall read the first 10 lines of the Odyssey at stages 2, 3, 4, and 5. The sound of the letter di gamma, w, is again occasionally used in this passage for the sake of euphony and meter, where it is etymologically justified. Next, as an example of the Greek iambic trimeter, I'll read the first 7 lines of Aeschylus' Prometheus Bound, also at stages 2, 3, 4, and 5. This will be followed by Euripides' Hecabe, lines 98-106, as an example of Greek anapests. This passage will be read at stage 5 only. Finally, as an example of Greek lyric rhythm, I'll read the only completely preserved poem of Sappho, also at stage 5. The Greek text and the metrical schemes of these various selections are printed in the accompanying booklet. First, the opening 10 lines of the Odyssey, read at stage 2, the rhythm plus the words.
Andramoyen epimousa polytropon hos malapolla Plankta epitroia sieron ptoli etron eperse Πολλών δ'ανθρώπων βιδεύαστια καίνον ίγνο, πολλά δόγιν ποντοί πατήν αλγία ον κατά τύμον, αρνημενος βαν τί ψυχάν καίνος τον χιτάιρον αλ ούδ χος χιταρούς ερίσα το χιήμενος πυρ αυτον γαρς πετεραίσιν ατασταλι αίσιν ολούντο να Ιοι χοι καταβούς υπερίον οσα ηλιοιο αστιον αυταρχοτοισιν απελετον οστιμον αίμαρ τον χαμωτήν γετία τυγατήρ διος επικαί χαμήν.
The same lines at stage 3. The rhythm plus the words plus the pitch accents.
Ανδραμοι ίνεπεμούς απολύτροπον χος μαλαπολλά Πλάνκτα επίτροιας ιερόν πτωλί ήτρον επίρσε πολλών δ'ανθρώπων βιδεύαστια καίνον ίγνο πολλά δόγιν ποντοί πατήν αλγία ον κατά τύμον αρνημενος ουάν τί ψυχάν καίνος τον χιτάιρον αλ ούδ χος χιταρούς ερίσα το χιήμενος πυρ αυτον γαρς πετεραίσιν ατασταλι αίσιν ολούντο να πιοι χοι καταβούς υπερίον οσα ηλιοιο αστιον αυταρχοτοισιν απελετον οστιμον αίμαρ τον χαμωτήν γετέα τυγατήρ διος επικαί χαμήν.
The same lines at stage 4. The use of spoken rather than chanted tones.
Ανδραμοι ίνεπεμούς απολύτροπον χος μαλαπολλά Πλάνκτα επίτροιας ιερόν πτωλί ήτρον υπέρσι πολλών δ'ανθρώπων βιδεύαστια καίνον ίγνο πολλά δόγιν ποντοί πατήν αλγία ον κατά τύμον Arnimenos vanity psi can kai noston hetairon. Al ud hos hitarus irisato himenosper. Auton gar spetereisin atastali eisin ullunto. Napioi hoi catabus hiperionos a ili oio. Astion autar hotois in apeliton ostimon amar. Ton hamotin getea tygater dios epekai hamin.
The same lines at stage 5. The use of spoken tones combined with individual interpretation.
Andra moyenne pemusa polytropon hos malapolla. Plankte epe troias hieron ptoli etron perse. Pollon d'antropon vide vastia cae non igno. Polladogen puntoi paten algia von catatymon. Ar nimenos vanete psican cae noston hetairon. Alud hos hetarus irissato hiemenosper. Auton gars petereisin atastaliesin ullunto, napioi, hoi catabus hyperionos a elioio, astion, autor hotoisin apeleton ostimon amar. Ton hamuten getea, tygater dios, epecae hamin.
Now Aeschylus Prometheus Bound, lines 1 to 7, read at stage 2, the rhythm plus the words. This is an example of the Greek iambic trimeter.
Ktonos menistaluron hakomin pidon, skitanes oimon abroton is eramian. Apaistisoi de kramelin epistolas. Asoi pater epitotum de prospetrais. Ipsa lokramnoiston le orgon ok masai. Adamantinon dismon enarrektois pidais.
The same lines at stage 3. The rhythm plus the words plus the pitch accents.
Ktonos menistaluron hakomin pidon. Skitan is oimon abroton is iramian. Hapaistisoi de kramelin epistolas. Soi pater epitotum di prospitrais. Ipsa lucram noistun li orgon uc masai. Adamantinon dismon in arrectois.
The same lines at stage 4. The use of spoken rather than chanted tones.
Ktonos menistaluron hakomin pidon. Skitan is oimon abroton is eramian. apaistisoi de cramilin epistolas. Assoi pater epetoton de prospitrais. Ipsalogram noiston leorgon uc massai. Adamantinon dismon enarrectois pidais.
The same lines at stage 5, the use of spoken tones combined with individual interpretation.
Ctonos menista luron hacomin pidon, scitenes oimon abrotonis ceramian. Apaiste, soi de cramilin epistolas, assoi pater epito tunde prospitrais, ipsalocramnois ton leorgonoc masai, adamantinon dismon enarrectois pidais.
Euripides Hecabe, lines 98-106, read at stage 5. This is an example of Greek anapests.
Hecaba spudai prosiliastan, tas disposinus canas prolipus hineclerotan, cae prositactan dula polios apilau nomina, tas Iliados Luncas aic mai doritaratos prosacaion. Ud in pateon apocupis dus alangelias baros aramina megasoite ginae gerix aceon.
Sappho, poem number 1, read at stage 5. This is an example of Greek lyric rhythm known as the Sapphic strophe.
Poikilotron tanata protita, pae dios dolloploce lissom maise, ma massaisi ma doniaisi damna potnia tymon. Allatid ilt ae potacati rota, tassima saudas aiois appelloi, iclues patros de domon lipois crision eltis. Arm hippas deuxais acloide sagon, occie strutoi perigas melainas, Pignatinentes pteropora noiteros diamisso. Aipsadexiconto sito macaira mediaisais atanatoi prosopoi. Ere ottideute piponta quottideute calemmi quottimoi malista tiloginistae mai nolae tumoi, tina deut epito, apsagenis van pilotata, tis apsapadicae. Cae garae peuge taceos dioxi, ae didora me dicet alla dossi. Ai dimme pileta che os pilesse, cuc itiloissa. Ilti moicainin calipandilison, ec merimnan ossa dimoi tilissai, tymos i merre tilison sudauta, Symmachus Issus.